Penguin Random House Audio presents The Places That Scare You, A Guide to Fearlessness in Difficult Times by Pema Chodron. Read by Joanna Rote.
Prologue. When I teach, I begin with a compassionate aspiration. I express the wish that we will apply the teachings in our everyday lives and thus free ourselves and others from suffering. During the talk, I encourage the audience to keep an open mind. This is often likened to the wonder of a child seeing the world without preconceptions. As the Zen master Suzuki Roshi put it, in the beginner's mind there are many possibilities, but in the expert's there are few. At the end of the talk, I dedicate the merit of the occasion to all beings. This gesture of universal friendship has been likened to a drop of fresh spring water. If we put it on a rock in the sunshine, it will soon evaporate. If we put it in the ocean, however, it will never be lost. Thus, the wish is made that we not keep the teachings to ourselves, but use them to benefit others. This approach reflects what are called the three noble principles: good in the beginning, good in the middle, good at the end. They can be used in all the activities of our lives. We can begin anything we do, start our day, eat a meal, or walk into a meeting with the intention to be open, flexible, and kind. Then we can proceed with an inquisitive attitude. As my teacher, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, used to say, "Live your life as an experiment." At the end of the activity, whether we feel we have succeeded or failed in our intention, we seal the act by thinking of others, of those who are succeeding and failing all over the world. We wish that anything we learned in our experiment could also benefit them. In this spirit, I offer this guide on the training of the compassionate warrior. May it be of benefit at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. May it help move us toward the places that scare us. May it inform our lives and help us to die with no regrets. Chapter 1, The Excellence of Bodhicitta. When I was about 6 years old, I received the essential bodhicitta teaching from an old woman sitting in the sun. I was walking by her house one day, feeling lonely, unloved, and mad, kicking at anything I could find. Laughing, she said to me, "Little girl, don't you go letting life harden your heart." Right there, I received this pith instruction. We can let the circumstances of our lives harden us so that we become increasingly resentful and afraid, or we can let them soften us and make us kinder and more open to what scares us. We always have this choice. If we were to ask the Buddha, "What is bodhicitta?" he might tell us that this word is easier to understand than to translate. He might encourage us to seek out ways to find its meaning in our own lives. He might tantalize us by adding that it is only bodhicitta that heals, that bodhicitta is capable of transforming the hardest of hearts and the most prejudiced and fearful of minds. Citta means mind, and also heart or attitude. Bodhi means awake, enlightened, or completely open. Sometimes the completely open heart and mind of bodhicitta is called the soft spot, a place as vulnerable and tender as an open wound. It is equated in part with our ability to love. Even the cruelest people have this soft spot. Even the most vicious animals love their offspring. As Trungpa Rinpoche put it, "Everybody loves something, even if it's only tortillas." Bodhicitta is also equated in part with compassion, our ability to feel the pain that we share with others. Without realizing it, we continually shield ourselves from this pain because it scares us. We put up protective walls made of opinions, prejudices, and strategies, barriers that are built on a deep fear of being hurt. These walls are further fortified by emotions of all kinds, anger, craving, indifference, jealousy, and envy, arrogance, and pride. But fortunately for us, the soft spot, our innate ability to love and to care about things, is like a crack in these walls we erect. It's a natural opening in the barriers we create when we're afraid. With practice, we can learn to find this opening. We can learn to seize that vulnerable moment. Love, gratitude, loneliness, embarrassment, inadequacy, to awaken bodhicitta. An analogy for bodhicitta is the rawness of a broken heart. Sometimes this broken heart gives birth to anxiety and panic, sometimes to anger, resentment, and blame. But under the hardness of that armor, there is the tenderness of genuine sadness. This is our link with all those who have ever loved. This genuine heart of sadness can teach us great compassion. It can humble us when we're arrogant and soften us when we are unkind. It awakens us when we prefer to sleep and pierces through our indifference. This continual ache of the heart is a blessing that, when accepted fully, can be shared with all. The Buddha said that we are never separated from enlightenment. Even at the times we feel most stuck, we are never alienated from the awakened state. This is a revolutionary assertion. Even ordinary people like us, with hang-ups and confusion, have this mind of enlightenment called bodhicitta. The openness and warmth of bodhicitta is in fact our true nature and condition. Even when our neurosis feels far more basic than our wisdom, even when we're feeling most confused and hopeless, bodhicitta, like the open sky, is always here, undiminished by the clouds that temporarily cover it. Given that we are so familiar with the clouds, of course, we may find the Buddha's teaching hard to believe. Yet the truth is that in the midst of our suffering, in the hardest of times, we can contact this noble heart of bodhicitta. It is always available in pain as well as in joy. A young woman wrote to me about finding herself in a small town in the Middle East, surrounded by people jeering, yelling, and threatening to throw stones at her and her friends because they were Americans. Of course, she was terrified, and what happened to her is interesting. Suddenly, she identified with every person throughout history who had ever been scorned and hated. She understood what it was like to be despised for any reason, ethnic group, racial background, sexual preference, gender. Something cracked wide open, and she stood in the shoes of millions of oppressed people and saw with a new perspective. She even understood her shared humanity with those who hated her. This sense of deep connection, of belonging to the same family, is bodhicitta. Bodhicitta exists on two levels. First, there is unconditional bodhicitta, an immediate experience that is refreshingly free of concept, opinion, and our usual all-caught-upness. It's something hugely good that we are not able to pin down even slightly, like knowing at gut level that there's absolutely nothing to lose. Second, there is relative bodhicitta, our ability to keep our hearts and minds open to suffering without shutting down. Those who train wholeheartedly in awakening unconditional and relative bodhicitta are called bodhisattvas, or warriors. Not warriors who kill and harm, but warriors of non-aggression who hear the cries of the world. These are men and women who are willing to train in the middle of the fire. Training in the middle of the fire can mean that warrior bodhisattvas enter challenging situations in order to alleviate suffering. It also refers to their willingness to cut through personal reactivity and self-deception, to their dedication to uncovering the basic, undistorted energy of bodhicitta. We have many examples of master warriors, people like Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr., who recognize that the greatest harm comes from our own aggressive minds. They devoted their lives to helping others understand this truth. There are
Sample complete. Ready to continue?